Are you looking to live the abundant life no matter what your income is? You're in the right place. This is the podcast that will teach and inspire you to live better. Whether you want to earn more, save more, or improve your relationship with money or people, it's time for the 90 Days to Abundance podcast, brought to you by SavingsAngel.com. Here's your host, the Chief Executive Angel of SavingsAngel.com, Josh Elledge.
And thank you so much, Cece, and welcome to show number 10 of 90 Days to Abundance. My name is Josh Elledge, and I'm so glad that you're joining with me today. This is actually my very first interview podcast show, and I'm very grateful to be interviewing my good friend Roy Biancalana, and we're going to be talking about something that I think can come up quite a bit for us, whether we're a parent, or whether we're in a relationship, or whether we are human. And it has to do with the stories that we tell ourselves and the beliefs that we have about who we are and the identities that we build. And so without further ado, let's get started. All right, and joining me live in the studio is my good friend, Roy Biancalana. Now, Roy and I have had the pleasure of doing some great work together on a website that you really should check out right now. It's coachingwithroy.com, and I'll let Roy explain exactly what you'll find there in just a second. Roy, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to invite you here as my first guest. And it kind of came about as kind of a life situation happened. And as parents, I think we've experienced this. I was walking by my son's room, and he had gotten in trouble for three things, like, right in a row. And so it was kind of piling up on him. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, it really started to affect his belief in who he was, because he was saying words like, why can't I be a normal boy? Why can't I be a good boy? And I felt so sad. I felt, you know, my heart ached for him in that moment. And I think that was kind of a call to me to make sure that if he's going to receive natural consequences, to make sure that you don't place any additional labels on him. And my wife and I are always very, very careful of that to begin with, because we don't want to create something that isn't necessarily true. Like, I would never say, you know, Ethan, you're a bad boy,
right?
Because, you know, that's telling him who he is,
right?
But instead rather label the action.
Right.
So I'm wondering if, first of all, before we get into, that's a little preview about what we're going to talk about, but Roy, I'd love to hear your story, your background just a little bit, and how you came to be the internet superstar that you are today.
Well, my background, there's a variety of things. I spent a lot of my life being a professional golfer. And then as I got past my prime, I transitioned out of playing golf for a living. I even taught golf for a while, and started pursuing a lifelong passion of mine, which has always been spiritual, relational, emotional dynamics, and got into being a coach and taking some of the wisdom that I had learned, you know, when I wasn't playing golf, and bringing that to people's lives to help them make better relationships, you know, with themselves or with their kids, finding a partner in life and so forth. So that's kind of, you know, where I've come from and what I'm about.
Yeah. And then that then turned into your website, which, right, I think is very good. Now, full disclosure, I helped build, right, build this system. I really am excited about
it. The system.
Because it's just that I found, it's just not found anywhere else. For those who are looking for that sort of information, I mean, obviously you could find YouTube videos, but we kind of took that and really brought it to, I hate to use this phrase, the next level,
but
that's kind of what we did, and created an entire ecosystem for those who are looking to grow in their relationships and then certainly looking to grow personally.
Right. You know, I have been a coach doing one-on-one work for years. I wanted to, and we wanted to kind of create something where people from anywhere could have really affordable and really accessible wisdom to make a difference in their life, you know, at a really affordable level that was easily to access on your computer, your laptop, your iPad, or even your phone. So to take it out of the one-on-one realm and create kind of curriculum and put wisdom into e-course formats. And so I've gone from having like an online, you know, presence to an online business and providing both of those services, one-on-one and the e-course format.
And what are some of the courses that you offer online?
Yeah, well, there's some for singles, some for couples. There are some just on personal development. For like singles, we have one called Attracting Lasting Love, A Conscious Approach to Finding Your Life Partner. I have a course for people who are more my age. It's called The Silver Lining Blueprint, A Conscious Approach to Finding Love After 50. Mm-hmm. So it's for people who are a bit older. There's a course called Finding Love Online, How to Do Online Dating and Make It Be Not Only Safe, but Successful. There is a course for women called The Radiant Woman, you know, kind of how to be the kind of woman that a really good man wants to dive into and devote himself to. And there's one for men, it's called The Superior Man, how to be a guy that good women are like, where have you been my whole life? You know? So all those facets of what it means to be a spiritually alive, mature, growing person in terms of relationship dynamics. That's my focus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's great that we connected. My background is I went to school to become a family therapist. My wife is a family therapist. Your wife is a family therapist.
Right.
So it's kind of like all in our blood. So when we get together, you can imagine what the conversations are like.
Right.
And nonstop.
We've learned not to try to fix each other.
No. Yeah. That doesn't work so well. Yeah. But let's go ahead and dive into this issue then about, about identities. Mm-hmm. And this has, you know, as parents, this has a huge impact. Right. And then of course with ourselves, I think we can develop a lot of beliefs about who we are. And on the subject of abundance and speaking specifically of, money and material abundance, I believe there's a lot of things that we can tell ourselves. Gosh, such a big subject. Where do we crack it open? We'll start with my experience that I began at the beginning of this program, talking about my son and these beliefs that he had started to create for himself based on what he was experiencing.
Yeah, and I think you did a really wonderful thing there to differentiate between behavior and beingness, I guess you could say, the difference between you are something and that action was wrong. And it can sound a little bit simplistic and like a platitude that, you know, it's not you, it's what you did. But especially for young kids, I think it's really important to even emphasize that you can believe in the child and what who they are and even stress to them. You can even sometimes when you're correcting a child, you can say, this is not who you are. This action, this thing you did, you know, is frustrating to me or disappointing to me because it's not the kind of kid you are. And so what was going on there? Because this isn't you versus labeling someone that, you know, that action makes you a liar. Mm-hmm. That action makes you, you know, a bad kid or, you know, whatever label that sometimes we can throw out when we're angry. So that's important.
So do you think what do you think the danger of that then is? If I'm constantly, like if I were to tell my teenager, you know, you're just constantly fighting against us and you're just whatever label I might put on that and say, this is who you are. What do you think the danger of that is?
Well, the danger should be easy for all of us to recognize, which is all of us as adults, if we start paying attention to the little voice in our head, we live with what some spiritual teachers call a core story of deficiency. We have our own identity issues about I am a failure, I'm not good enough, or I'm unlovable, or I don't deserve this or that. Where do they come from? Well, they come from when you're really little, when people tell you or circumstances happen and they sort of form your ego. They form how you view yourself. And so that's why it's so important when kids are little to affirm their value in their intrinsic essence while you still point out behavior. But that's where they're really important. I mean, I'm 53 years old and I've got this thing, you're a failure going on in my head. You know, we're not good enough. And I've seen my whole life be an attempt to try to rectify that or disprove it, which is a nightmare. So you kind of go through life thinking you have to prove something to someone or you're fighting some phantom. And it's just that identity issue. And they start when you're little.
Yeah. That was my next question is where do they come from?
Yeah. Well, I personally don't believe, well, we could debate on what you're born with and what you're not. And if you're born with something that's, well, then we can't do much about that. But they're really formed in our early childhood. Messages we get, the way we as parents can make our facial expressions, how we deal with our own stress and our own pressure and we take it out on the kids and our expectations of them. You know, I mean, so many parents nowadays, they want their children to be so smart and they get them, you know, get them going to preschool when they're two and, you know, and so you can start to say you've got to be smart or, you know, so we have expectations and assumptions about this is how kids should be. Little girls don't play sports and you can get an eye that or if they are athletic, well, then you start calling them a tomboy. And, you know, so it's parents crap that kind of gets projected onto them. And you know, like I've told my son that I've done the best job I know how to raise you, but I know I've screwed you up. So you can go into therapy one day and you can tell your therapist that my dad was an idiot, you know? And I'm like, I was, I mean, I did the best I knew how to do, yeah. But I was putting my own stuff there. And so we can try to be aware of these core stories that we can project on our kids, but they're almost on some level unavoidable. Your kids are going to grow up and have their own little stories about themselves and what their friends do and how their teachers treat them and you and your wife and my kids got his. But if we can, you know, one of the ways you can serve your kid is if you're aware of their budding stories, you can help them become aware of it. You know, you can say, do you notice how you call yourself bad? You know, you could really develop a sense that you are, there's something wrong with you as a kid. Do you see that you can start thinking there's something wrong with you and that might affect you, how good a work you do in school or how you react with your friends. And they can become, you know, you can lead your children to self-awareness and they can notice that they have stories. And by knowing that, it can really shift a person from being stuck in it.
How do you think that this shows up, this concept of beliefs in, let's say, our relationships, specifically our spousal relationship. And then if we're in the process of looking, right, how do you think this impacts us?
It's fundamentally the core of most relationship difficulties. For instance, let's say that a man or a woman has some story from their past that they've interpreted that they are somehow unlovable. Or they're unwanted. I mean, maybe they had an alcoholic parent that was kind of absent or whatever. So you kind of get this story that I'm unlovable or I'm unwanted. Well, when you get into the relationships, one, you're going to probably want your partner to somehow change that story for you. So you're going to put a lot of pressure on the relationship that you have to love me. Like you're going to be maybe expecting a person to pay almost so much attention to you and to love you in a specific way that feels like they can heal you of that story. And of course, another human being is incapable of healing that story.
Right.
So it's an internal work. The other thing is when you have a story of being unlovable or not good enough or something like that, because you hold that story, you will attract someone that has their own story of deficiency. And so now you got two people that feel like there's something wrong with them in a relationship together. And that's where all kinds of drama really happens. So those stories, they're like the magnetic energy that attracts certain people. Because people are always saying, why do I keep getting these same patterns and attracting these same people? And why do I live the Groundhog Day syndrome over and over and over again? Well, it's because some of the stories you carry about yourself are like magnetic energies in the world, and they pull people into your life that either complement it or continue to play it out. And so that's kind of complicated, but that's kind of where it all goes.
Yeah, sure. So how might we see this? Like if I'm in a relationship with your wife or your husband, if we see this in our loved ones, mm-hmm. and if we see this specifically in our with our spouse, mm-hmm. I mean, what can we do if we see that if our wife is if she's hard on herself mm-hmm. or our husband, if you know there's just something that we see and gosh this belief of, and we right. don't see that in them
right.
but they're creating something in themselves. How can we work to interrupt that in adult relationships?
Right. Well, one of the best ways is when you do notice your partner having some kind of story and kind of living it out in some way. Well, one, you can talk about what you see, but one of the most fun things to do in a relationship is to give each other names. So like one of the things my wife gets stuck in is she grew up in a home where she was the middle child. The younger child was really sick. I mean, heart issues when she was 5 and she had heart. I mean, she still has heart issues now. And her older sister was a real high maintenance, high energy. So my wife grew up in the middle and it was like, I don't want to be a bother to anybody because there's so much going on around me that I don't want to create any more trouble for anyone. Mm-hmm. So she became this kind of passive, kind of peacemaking, quiet thing. So she'll get into this thing that I'm just not worthy of attention or I'm not worthy of asking someone for help. I don't want to cause anything. And so I have a name for her. I call her Little Miss. I don't want to be a bother. And so when she's stuck in it, like she'll be cooking dinner in the middle of cooking dinner and she'll know that she needs something from the store. And she won't even consider saying, Roy, would you run to the store and get me this? She'll just drop everything and grab her keys because she doesn't want to bother me. She doesn't, you know, and now I can take advantage of that. But I'll just say, so Little Miss, I don't want to be a bother. Could you use a little help? You know, and I'll start making fun of her. And not in a mean way, but in a way to kind of wake her up that she's in her pattern. She's in her thing where I don't want to cause anybody anything. I want to disappear and I don't want to be in the middle of it. I'll take care of it myself and I want to bother you. And so giving a name to those stories, those personas, is a great way of shifting. Because the minute I say that to her, it kind of gives her a smelling salt moment where she recognizes, oh, am I doing that again? Would you mind going to the store for me? That would really help. Well, sure, baby, I'll go. And so it kind of gets her out of it.
Yeah. Good. So let's shift now. And, simply because the name of our program is 90 Days to Abundance. So right. we talk about being able to be a better steward over what we have and then also, you know, attracting more of that right. in our lives, just so we can kind of free up that area, I think, and allow ourselves to enjoy a little bit more flexibility and freedom and less worry. Mm-hmm. And so how can these beliefs and stories about ourselves influence both our ability to earn? Well, let's start with just our ability to earn.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we were talking about this off air just a little while ago, that I believe that abundance and creation is sort of our natural birthright. Not that everybody deserves to be a billionaire, but that our nature as human beings in the world, if we're not blocked by something, is to be able to manifest things we desire, that visions that God gives us, impulses for business or family. So I think our natural way is to be able to create things and bring abundance to us and into the world. So I always look at these things as looking for things that are blocking the natural flow of energy that can come through us and into the world. So it's like an artery, you know, when the artery is clear of the plaque, then the blood flows. But when it gets clogged, then you got problems. So I think we should be, in terms of abundance, not always asking, how can I make more or manage my money more, but asking, what am I believing maybe that is blocking myself? So what's clogging me up? And that's when you come to these stories. And I've dealt with this myself because I've never felt like I have opened to abundance as much as I can. And I've always felt like something's blocking. And I've done a lot of work around this and I'm still doing it, frankly. The idea of being, what if you feel like you don't deserve something? What if you got some message when you were a kid that, you know, you just, it's you don't deserve it or somehow you're not worthy of abundance, You might have got a message somehow, somewhere. I was just talking to a client the other day that actually said, I've always thought that if I got a lot of money, I'd become a bad person. Like I would be not generous. I would turn into be kind of selfish and arrogant. And so if you're holding a belief that you could be bad or that you don't deserve it, right? Those would be, then you would keep yourself from getting money. And you'd be like, why would I keep myself? Because you have all this negative conception about what would happen. So I think the listener here, just to ask yourself, what story might I be holding that might, I might even have like a benefit of staying with less resources? Maybe you feel like the more money that I would get, maybe I would lose a lot of my friends because I would be in a financial level that would distance me from them. One of the stories I've explored in my own life is that because I like my life to be pretty simple and uncomplicated, man, if I started making $1 million a year, maybe I have to spend all my time managing my damn money, you know, and it would complicate my life and it would be more difficult. And because, you know, there are issues when you don't have money, but when you do have money, you have to manage it.
Oh,
you
sure.
have the people to trust to take care of it. And so those are some things, some stories about the complications, the, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. Maybe it would make me be a bad person. And there's a host of others that can block it.
Okay, but is it really true then that can actually manifest in our behavior? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, I have this belief that if I became wealthy, that I'd become a bad person. But will a person really take action on those beliefs? And if they did, how might that look?
Right. It would definitely affect their actions. And you might not even know you're doing it. There's an unconscious thing that you could be sabotaging yourself in some way by actions you take or don't take, decisions you make, that it's unconsciously running you. Let me give you an example of how it works in relationships and it will translate. One of the things I always do with my clients, when they come to me and they say, I want to find a partner and I can't, I always say, so tell me why you want to be single. And they're like, I don't. I'm working with you because I want a partner. I said, no. Right now you don't have one. So on some level, you don't want it. And they get mad at me. But I help them see that your present circumstance is a result of your commitments on some level. So if I can convince them to at least ask the question, why do you want to be single? What's the benefit of being single? What's the payoff of not having a relationship? Then they start saying things, well, I guess I wouldn't have to face rejection. Or I don't have to worry about somebody taking over my life and I lose my sense of autonomy and I lose myself, right? So then they start to see, well, then maybe I put off a certain energy. Maybe I come off in public a certain way because I actually don't want to get someone close to me because I don't want them to break my heart. You could see how that would affect the way you would show up. You'd have this wall, right? Some sort of energy. Same thing with money. If you feel like money would be a negative influence on your life in some way, then it's either going to affect your motivation level to work hard, because there's a connection between working hard and creating wealth, you know, unless you're just lucky and invent something, but even that takes work. So you would unconsciously sabotage yourself in an effort to keep yourself from abundance. And that's why the listener needs so much curiosity to just wonder. Like, I wonder what my story is that might be a story of scarcity. And then therefore, how is that expressing it in my life? How is that showing up? And I don't even see it, right? And so that leads to then either hiring coaches or financial people or people that can look at your life and see something you don't see. Because when I'm working with a client, I can see their blockages. I can see where they have this kind of, I have a wall up, I'm afraid of love kind of thing. But they can't see it because they're the one doing it.
Right.
So a lot of times you get out of these stuck places with financial things. You might need to have somebody come into your life to help you see things that you don't even know because you're doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us, you know, we think, well, this is my life. I know my life. I know my life better than anybody else. But, you know, even the best athletes who are on the top of their game, of course they have coaches.
Right. Actually, I think we are the people that know ourselves the least unless you've done a huge amount of self-awareness work, you know, you can't see your own shadow. Your eyeball can't see itself. It has to have something, a mirror, to be able to, so you can't see yourself. You can't see your blind spots. The fact that they're blind spots is by definition the reason you can't see them. Yeah. So there are things about ourselves that we don't know we're doing or believing because they're so habitual that we don't even notice. And that's why all athletes, you're right. I was a professional golfer for years and I played on the tour, but I was never like one of the top guys. But so even me as a lower level kind of player, I had a swing coach, a short game coach, a nutritionist, a physical fitness trainer. I had a whole entourage of people to help me get better and see, because I don't want to fix my own swing. I can't see my own swing, but I need someone to look at it and say, man, do you know you're doing that? I said, no, I had no idea I'm doing that. Well, how about this? Do that. Oh, now that starts to work. So having financial coaches, physical fitness coaches, relationship coaches, all those things. I don't know how you get better at something without having people support you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, let me change the subject a little bit and let me ask you, why do couples fight about money?
That's huge. Well, money issues come very close to some deep security and identity issues. Rightly or wrongly, we attach a lot of our well-being and security to how much money we have. So when you screw with somebody's money, or there's questions about how it's being spent, or who's making what, a lot of fear comes up. And it triggers us in those fears of being without or lack. I'm remarried. My first wife grew up in a home where they had a lot of financial abundance and they lost it when she was 12. And it completely changed her life. Wow. To where she couldn't even have bacon anymore. I mean, they had to change all the things they ate. She couldn't go away to summer camp anymore. And she got this really fear of loss of money from her and real scarcity kind of thing that happened. So that we got into a lot of things around money when we were married, because
I bet
how I spent money or what we, cause I haven't balanced my checkbook in 20 years. I mean, I'm not detailed, but that would trigger her, not because I wasn't spending money, right? But because it reminded her the fear of losing it and not having. So the money issues are very often, they're not always about the issue that's being discussed. It's all the other things that it represents. The safety and security. So for a couple, you can really use money issues as a way to really deepen your intimacy, or it can destroy you, depending on how much you're aware of all of your beliefs about money coming in here. And then there's control issues and dialogue issues between couples on budgeting things. I mean, almost every couple I've ever worked with, you have a spender and a saver in the same relationship. Mm-hmm. The opposites attract. One person like me is like, you know, we'll find it. It'll be all right. I mean, I'll make enough money. And the other one has an Excel spreadsheet like my wife for every single nickel that goes everywhere. And so you get these different views that, you know, one person's like, hey, we'll have plenty. The other person's like, we have to save. And that can be a real source of conflict. Or you can view that you've attracted this opposite crazy person into your life and say, well, maybe I need to learn a bit more financial responsibility from my wife. And maybe she could learn to loosen up a little bit and relax. So I think we attract our opposites so often because we need to actually learn to be a little less lopsided in our perspectives and learn from our partners. But it can also turn into war.
Yeah. And the thing about money, too, is because we make a dozen or so financial decisions every single day. Mm-hmm. Most of them are pretty small.
Right.
But if I come home and I've purchased the wrong type of products, all of a sudden it's an issue right. That can kind of open up other right. issues.
Right. And when I counsel couples that have things going on with money, one of the major things is that you do need to have some sort of budget, some sort of discussion that leads to a number of agreements that you make. And one of the agreements that my wife and I have is that we can pretty much do anything with money. I think the number is $100. Anytime one of us is going to spend more than $100, we have to have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
I don't ask for permission, she doesn't, mm-hmm. but we have to say, listen, I'm thinking about getting this. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to go out and grab dinner or do something, something costs $60, whatever. But when it crosses that line, we have an agreement that we will talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that would solve a lot of problems with couples,
right.
that if they have some sort of budget where they've looked at, you know, things, and then there's an agreement on what we have freedom to do and not do. And then of course you have to keep the agreement.
Yeah.
But I think that can lead to a lot of harmony around money.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, you know, other areas of abundance in our lives other than, you know, money and spirit, you know, being emotionally abundant. What mm-hmm. might that look like in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're all sort of tied together. I kind of almost view our lives as like a hose, mm-hmm. that if you kink the hose, everything kind of gets blocked in some ways. So I think it's rare for a person to feel like they're in spiritual and emotional abundance, but that their financial life is in total chaos. I think these things were pretty synergistic. They all kind of work together. Emotional abundance or health to me is about how well you deal with your feelings. Because there's two major responses to whatever feelings you have in life. You're either going to avoid what you feel, or you're going to embrace or move toward what you feel. And most of humanity, and even me, a lot of times, spend a lot of times running away from our feelings by either medicating them or distracting ourselves. We just start venting or we analyze our feelings and stuff. But very few people have a practice of what it is to feel their feelings and to feel them all the way through until they feel a shift. So how do I be with anger or sadness or fear and actually feel those energies in my body and not take them out on people in any abusive kind of ways or any kind of blaming kind of way, but how do I feel those feelings until I feel them move through me and shift through me? So emotions are like energies. And I think money is an energy in the world that's flowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And either you're going to block it, it's going to get stuck in you so it can't come to you or move through you. But emotions are the same way. They're energies, and we can block them or resist them by avoiding them and distracting and medicating and stuff. Or we can learn to just do the scary thing of, I feel scared, and I just want to spend some time feeling that. What's it like in my body? And breathe with it until you feel it begin to shift. And sometimes, to add one more part, we get in emotional states because we have these stories. Like if I have the story I'm a failure, well, I'm going to be an emotional wreck most of the time. So a lot of people have emotions that don't, but when you're in a healthy place, emotions like waves on an ocean, they come, if you let them come, they crash and they dissolve. So emotions move pretty quickly through us, unless you got some sort of story that will make them stay forever. Mm-hmm. So if you feel you're unlovable or unwanted, well, you're going to be kind of sad all the time. So our emotions can sometimes lead us to be looking at, is there a story that I'm holding? Because I seem to be stuck in anxiety, or I'm stuck in this kind of depressed place, or I always feel, I have like an anger problem, anger management things. And those things usually stem from some sort of story that is like fuel. It's just going to keep the fire burning the whole time. So all these, I mean, we could spend days talking about these topics we're bringing up here. But that's what I would say is emotional abundance, is learning what it means to feel your feelings all the way through until you feel a shift.
Yeah. Well, Roy, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about what you do, and if they'd like to learn more from you, how can they do that?
Mm. The best way is my website, the digital address, the digital storefront, coachingwithroy.com. Is my website, and on there is my contact info. The beautiful website that you've built and we've put together explains all the services and the things that I have to offer. And I should just say, if anybody is maybe interested in working with me directly, I would never expect someone to make that decision without having a one-on-one conversation first. So there is a free exploratory coaching session that I offer anybody that wants to discuss what's going on in their lives and hear about me and the structure I offer and my fees and all of that. So there's a kind of a no charge to just explore.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Roy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I'll be back in just a second. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I'm very grateful to be able to introduce my good friend Roy to you. And again, his website, coachingwithroy.com. And of course, if you'd like any notes from this episode, you can always go to savingsangel.com/podcasts and look for episode number 10. And of course, I've got links to Roy's website, and I hope this was extremely valuable to you. And if it was, if you enjoyed it, then hit the little thumbs up in your Stitcher app, or you can go to iTunes and leave a review, and I would love to hear that. If you have any constructive criticism, please go to my website at savingsangel.com/podcast, look for episode number 10, and there's a form right on the show notes page where you can contact me directly, and I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Have an abundant weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.